Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
And we want to welcome you back this weekend to our show. We're going to start things off with talking some TCU men's basketball as their season is now underway. The Horned Frogs look to get back on track in a variety of ways, and it is always a pleasure when we can welcome in the head men's basketball coach, Jim Christian. Hello, Jim. I know this is a busy time of year, and we sincerely appreciate the time.
Appreciate it, Alyssa. It's great talking to you again.
Absolutely. It is a brand new season, and I know you are super excited about the progress the Frogs continue to make. They were so impressive in the exhibition opener against Cameron University. They're making some big-time strides, and I know that you're fired up. You're kind of a quiet guy, but you're fired up.
I really am. I really enjoy this group of kids. I mean, I just think that, you know, for the first time since I've been here, I just feel like we have the right kind of guys, the right attitude around our team, and we're doing things that are really going to move our program forward, and we're excited to tip it off.
And of course, one of the reasons why your program will continue to move forward is because of defense, and what a tremendous defensive effort against Cameron. Let's just reflect on that momentarily, because you held the Aggies to 25% shooting from the field, but I think perimeter defensively, that was very impressive. Terrific closeouts and only 17% from three-point range. That's huge, because that's going to pay big-time dividends down the road when you guys get into Mountain West Conference play.
You know, it's the whole mindset of our team has changed, and that's one area that we really wanted to focus on. Was we wanted to become a more tough-minded defensive team. We're much more aggressive. We put a lot more pressure on people when we play. And again, because of the depth, we have much longer athletes this year, especially, you know, at the wings and in the guard spots for us. So I it's one of those teams, I think, that's just, it's fun to come out every day because they're taking full ownership of what we're trying to create here, and that's what makes it fun.
And, of course, the motto this year for the TCU men's basketball team is Count On Me. I love that promotional video. Count on me to bring the excitement. It was a lot of fun to watch at Cowboys Stadium on the big, big screen. But one of the things, Jim, that you talked about at the preseason media day was the keys to success, and that really is for you. Yes, you're talking about that defensive effort, but getting back to basics, getting back to the fundamentals, and playing fundamental basketball. And it really is about sweating the small stuff, because paying attention to detail is everything.
Oh, no question about it, especially when you have new players on your team. I think it's important that they develop the right mindset, the right understanding of what we need to do to win. It's different for each team. The other thing is, because we have depth and competition at each spot, it kind of makes them focus in on those things. There's no complacency. We don't have anybody in our roster that, regardless of if he takes a playoff, is going to stay in, because we have that type of depth, and we don't lose much, you know, when we go to the bench. And right now, you know, we're going to play 9 or 10 players double-figure minutes. So I think that's, again, it all helps the energy level with which we play, the focus with which we play, and the unselfishness with which we play. And those are three areas that I don't care what sport it is, if you can stay tuned to those things, you're going to be pretty good.
Do you find yourself, Coach Christian, teaching a little bit more? I mean, I know you've got a strong core of senior leadership, but as you're talking about the influx of so many fresh faces, are you having to kind of break it all down for these guys and make them understand the Jim Christian philosophy?
Well, you know, I think we never stop teaching. I think the one thing that's really impressed me with this group is you don't have to go back and reteach things every day. There's just an awareness of what we're doing and an understanding. And it grows and grows. I mean, you know, from one day to the next, you can see it, and that they're just starting to figure it out. And obviously, we're a long way from being where we want to be. But at least that part of it, we understand that the importance of things that are being presented to them and their understanding of those things, that's what's going to make us hopefully a really good team as the year goes on.
Great things continue to happen at TCU. We are going one-on-one with the TCU head men's basketball coach. That, of course, is the familiar voice, Jim Christian. And I'm going to give you the opportunity. I want you to brag on this leadership that you've been talking about. The mindset is different, but you do have a terrific core of seniors that can be counted on. Just kind of roll through the list and tell us a little bit about these guys.
Well, you know, it starts with Hank Thorns for us. He's a fifth-year senior, and I think the thing that he's done more than anything is you can watch him in. We have a freshman point guard named Keen Anderson who's going to be a great player for us, but I watch them interact. They go have lunch once a week and talk about just being a point guard and understanding the thing, and I didn't ask Hank to do that. He just does that. You know, the other thing that stood out to me is we had an off day on Tuesday of this week, and every single guy on our team is in the gym. Every single guy on our team is coming through and watching film. All the things that good teams do, you know, that coaches aren't going to be with you for it, that you really want to develop your own abilities. And that's the kind of things that we're doing. It's not unique to us. That's what good teams do. It's new to us because we now understand it. And it's not the coaches calling you in and harping on you to become a better player. It's those guys wanting to do things, you know, to create a special season.
And you mentioned you were highlighting Hank Thorns, but what about your senior forward in J.R.?
Yeah, J.R. has been phenomenal. He's one of the better athletes in the league and probably one of the better athletes in the country. And now I think as a senior in his second year, he's understanding more the small things that make him effective. He's a much better, you know, team defender. His effort level is more consistent, and that happens, you know, as you become a senior and you get a full grasp of what's going on. And, you know, I think you haven't seen the best of what he can do, and I think this year you will. We also have a fifth-year senior inside with Craig Williams, who's played at Temple. So he's come from a winning program, and he's just a guy who just understands, you know, all the small things that you need to do. So it's just between the youth and the experience of our team, it's just a good combination. And it's just, again, I say, it's like I'll continue to say, it's just fun to be out there every day with our kids.
Okay, we hit on the seniors, but what about one of your top returning juniors? And, of course, Garland Green, one of the top returning scorers, and that's huge.
Yeah, he's our leading returning scorer. He's really improved. We're trying to get him to be a more overall player, and he's really conscious of it, has worked hard. You know, he's always been an extremely athletic and gifted offensive player, but he's an improved defensive player. And, you know, I'm ready for him. He deserves to have a great junior season. He's worked unbelievably hard, and we're just hoping he has it.
Okay, I'd love to talk about the interior, and that's one thing that, you know, a piece of the puzzle that has been missing in years past. And you needed some depth, but you needed some height and some bigger guys. And we were just talking about Craig Williams, the 6'8", 265 transfer from Temple. But what about McKinney, Adric McKinney?
Adric is, you know, he's 6'8", 265 pounds. And what he does is both of those guys are a threat every single time down the floor. You know, the other night we played our exhibition game, the ball went into the post 16 times. I don't know if we threw it into the post 16 times all year. So it's just a different weapon for our team. They're able to draw fouls. They can put pressure on the defense. And, you know, they're really working hard. Adric he's really bought into he's one of those guys that he really wants to become a better player. He comes in and he understands the things he doesn't do well, and he's willing to work on them, and our staff has done a really good job of getting him better. And again, he's a guy that just gives us a physical presence, you know, at both ends of the floor that we haven't had.
Do you really stress with your post players? You like them to be versatile, be able to hit, you know, that 15-foot shot? Is that important, or do you just want them to have their back against the basket?
Well, it depends on the strengths of their game. I think we work on whatever. Craig is a guy who could step out and shoot threes, so we let him go out and shoot threes at some points, and he does post as well. Adric's right now more of an interior player, but we're continuing to work with him, and he'll get better. You know, that's our job. We try to get them better at the things they don't do well, but they got to play to their strengths. I mean, that's the things that have made them great players to this point, and fine-tune both of those. But between those two guys, I think we get a really good balance.
Well, Jim, I really like your strategy, too. I mean, you've brought in, and correct me if I'm wrong, 4 junior college players this year. I mean, these guys can come in and make an immediate difference, right? That's kind of I don't know if you remember back in the day, Billy Tubbs did that all the time at Oklahoma.
We brought in 3.
Okay.
You know, we brought in 3 junior college players and 1 fifth-year transfer. So I think it's helped, especially, you know, the three that we brought in are the right kind of kids, more so than their abilities. They're good players, but they're great kids. Nate Butler is one of those kids, and he's single-handedly changed the attitude of our program. He's just one of those guys that he never has a bad day. He never doesn't smile. He's never unenthusiastic. He just brings great joy to everything he does. And we knew that when we recruited him. He was a priority recruit for us just because of his mentality. He starts for us at the 2-guard, but more than anything he does on the basketball floor, he's changed the whole attitude of our basketball team.
And, of course, that was very critical coming into the 2011-2012 season. We are so excited to have joining us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. It is Jim Christian, TCU's head men's basketball coach. If you want to find out more information on tickets, I know they want to see you out there. You can go to gofrogs.com. Any new wrinkles offensively? I mean, what can we expect? Are you guys going to be a run-and-gun kind of team, half court? I mean, you said you got some bigger guys down on the block.
Yeah, I think we'll be a little bit different. We can get up and down the floor a little bit better. We're probably more aggressive defensively than we've ever been. So, you know, we press more. We probably score more off defense than we have in the past. You know, it's funny, offensively, I don't know if there's a guy on our team that we need to get 20 a night, but we probably have 8 guys who can get 8 or more. So I think it's a different type of team. So it's going to be fun to watch those guys grow into those roles.
Okay, a couple of guys that are growing into a new role and that are on your staff now, Reggie Brown and Rob Evans. And I like the fact with Coach Evans, I mean, here's a guy that's got, what, more than 40 years experience. That's going to be very helpful.
And 16 years as a head coach. I mean, so I think that there's nothing that you know, that Coach Evans hasn't seen, or he just can relate to our players in a different way than we've had in the past because of his experience and the way they talk and talk to him. And it's just really helped us in all areas. I mean, recruiting and on the floor coaching and dealing with our players. And Reggie's just a phenomenal young coach. I mean, he just does an outstanding job with our guards. He's got a great way with people. He's a great recruiter. I just think that, you know, everything we're kind of doing right now makes a lot of sense. And there's a formula here now. I think that, you know, finally, I think we've got the right formula to keep this thing moving.
That's the great springboard as you guys get ready next year to head into the Big 12 Conference. And I know, Coach Christian, a real smile on your face at the preseason media day because you are really excited and looking forward to it, aren't you?
I am looking forward to it. It's a great challenge for us. It's obviously one of the premier basketball leagues in the country, and there's a great familiarity and history with all the schools in that league and TCU and. And you know, our basketball program is no different. I mean, it's going to be a great challenge for us, but it's one that we look forward to, and we have to just keep getting ready for it. I think we're putting those stages and touches in now to make us competitive.
Okay, I like the layout of your schedule. This is going to be my final question for you, and I think all Frog fans need to circle the calendar because in December, what was that first weekend? In December, you guys are going to be hosting Texas Tech. Billy Gillespie's boys coming to town.
Well, I think it's going to be the first Big 12 event on this campus. You know, the first, as I speak every time I go, you know, we really wanted in this league badly, and this is the first ever. You know, we have no Big 12 football teams on our schedule this year that we're playing now. That's the only one, and we need to treat that like the first ever Big 12 event here, and I think we're doing that, and we're already out talking to students. You know, not that the other games aren't as important or as big games, but you know, for all the things that we've gone through, we need to really show what TCU pride and what TCU wants to do once they get to that league.
Absolutely. Well, listen, good luck to you this weekend. And, Jim, we look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment. Support for programming comes from Pinnacle Bank, where serving customers beyond day-to-day transactions is the Texas way. Pinnacle Bank provides solutions based on local needs and personal relationships. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Visit us online at PINNBANKTX.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Elissa Walker-Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Ow. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Here we go. As promised, it is time to talk some Sooner women's basketball as their season is now underway, and it looks once again to be a promising year of high expectations as the Sooner women were picked by the league's coaches to finish fourth in the Big 12 Conference and nationally in the preseason poll, 15th. It is always a true pleasure to welcome in Oklahoma's head women's basketball coach, the great Sherry Cole. How are you, Coach?
Hey, E, I'm good. Thank you so much.
Well, it's always fantastic to get to visit with you. I look forward to our conversations. And let's back up just a moment. Of course, on Wednesday night, you guys were in action. You had an impressive 34-point win over UCO. What did you take away from that game? And obviously, you've had a chance perhaps to look at even the game tape.
Yes, I have had a chance to look at the game tape. And when you step back and look at it, we have some obvious areas where we have to improve, but that's exactly why you play exhibition games, so that you can get your young guys out there, get their feet under them, get them accustomed to playing in front of a big crowd. We have four freshmen. They were very, very nervous, and it showed throughout the game. But at the same time, we played a very, very good Division II team that's going to win a lot of games, probably their league, probably go into at least the Sweet 16 in their tournament. They're a very good basketball team. They competed hard and they exposed some things, and we won by 34, playing everybody and getting significant minutes for our young guys. So there's a lot to learn from it, but also a lot of good to take away.
And certainly one of the positives that I take away is you had five players that scored in double digits. You were led by one of the young ones, a sophomore, Erin Ellenberg. And what a stat line that she did provide for you. 20 points, 6 assists, and 3 steals. That is a tremendous all-around effort, Sherry.
Well, Vegas is going to have to play much older than a sophomore for us. She got extensive experience as a freshman last year, averaged 16 a game, shot 40% from behind the arc, and I think made three of her first four. three-point attempts last night. Shot the ball extremely well in the first half, cooled off a little bit in the second half, but did a lot of really, really good things for us. And we're going to need and we will be asking for more leadership from her as we are a very, very young team. But I love the fact that we had five guys in double figures. I love the fact that we had 22 assists. We were really sharing the basketball. We shot the ball extremely well from three-point line, really from the field, too. We were almost 50% from both of those. And so very, very good shooting performance for a first time out. Way too many turnovers. They seem to come in bunches. That stuff is sometimes kind of contagious, like the bad old flu. A couple people do it, and then everybody thinks they got to get involved for a little bit. Right. Then we would steady the ship for a while, and here they would come again. So you take those turnovers out of the game last night, and really, really good guard play.
And you bring up a great point. You shot almost 50% from the three-point line, and the fact that you had five players that hit at least one three-point shot offensively, like I'm talking about, I mean, it looks like you guys have a lot of depth from the perimeter position.
Well, we do have a lot of guys that can score and a lot of guys that can shoot it really well. I think what we do best at this particular point in time is pass ahead in transition and find guys, find shooters in transition. I thought we were really good at that. Didn't think UCO was bad at their defensive transition in trying to prevent that. I just thought we were really, really good at moving the basketball and skipping it and passing ahead, and that's where a lot of those threes came from. So, you know, the fact that you can put five different shooters on the floor where teams can't key on one particular kid, I think is a huge advantage.
What was the message in postgame? You talked about, you just mentioned the 26 turnovers. Obviously, you want to get that down much more. What did you share with them?
The main thing that I wanted to impart to them was that as you're learning and you get frustrated and you make a mistake or you aren't sure what to do on a particular play or possession, the worst thing you can do is stop. We had so many breakdowns because literally we would have a player just stop. Whether it was, I don't know who I'm guarding, so I'm going to stand here for a minute and try to figure it out, or I don't really know where to go right now offensively, so I'm just going to stand here. That happened a number of times, and as a result, it's a turnover, it's a layup for the other team, it's an offensive rebound for the other team. We had several freshmen on the floor for extended periods. In the second half, we went for about an eight-minute period with four true freshmen on the floor, and it was a little bit like elementary school recess. So we have to work on that for sure. But the main message I wanted to impart to them was that you just keep playing. You just play so hard that those mistakes don't stand out as much, and eventually you make something good happen. We have to play through those. Talked about the passion that is necessary to overcome any anxiety or any nerves that you have, and how you have to decide which one of those voices in your head you want to feed and get comfortable. And that was the main thing last night. We had lots of possessions where we were very uncomfortable. And that comes with being really young and not having been on the floor yet. So all that other stuff, there were three main areas, E, in terms of the basketball technical side, defensive blockout, turnovers, and defensive transition. Those three big areas we have to see a lot of improvement in over the next 5 to 7 days.
How was the defense on the interior, the post D?
You know, actually, it wasn't bad at all. We had a size advantage. We blocked quite a few shots and did a pretty good job of preventing passes to the paint and dribble penetrations to the paint, which is truly what we're working on. We're going to have to be able to do that against the great size and the great athleticism that exists in the Big 12 Conference. So I thought in that regard, we did some really, really good things. We didn't foul a lot. We were much more disciplined in our position defense. We just did not hack them. We made them take contested jump shots, and that was our game plan. So that part of it, when we got back in defensive transition and got matched up, we actually guarded quite well in the half court, and I was pleased with that.
You talk about the great size and athleticism within the Big 12 Conference. One of the things as I look up and down your roster that I love so much is just the height on this team. This is perhaps, if not, the biggest team that you've ever had. I mean, you got a gal that's 6'6", and I'm curious, talk to me post-play-wise, how do they do running the floor?
Well, Nicole Griffin can run. She does a great job of really getting out. She does not do it consistently. And I think the biggest thing with it's more of a struggle for Yale. She does okay, but it's more of a struggle for her. KK can really run. She's just a freshman, but she's really going to be able to run. The thing for all of them is to be able to play full tilt for longer. That was the problem last night. We couldn't get anybody to go for more than three or four possessions, really, really competing and running the floor at the highest level, and we've got to improve on that. Again, you know, it's early, and you have to play your way into game shape, but with those bigs, that's going to be, you know, I'm glad we have several because we may have to rotate them on a regular basis just to make sure we get that high intensity at all times.
Nicole Griffin, a post player, 6'6", and she is out of the state of Wisconsin. What did you challenge her with in the offseason to improve her game? I mean, she could be a huge asset for you, Sherry.
Aggression.
Okay.
Nicole acquiesces a lot. She catches it and kicks it back out without her post defender ever having to guard anything hard. And we have just really challenged her to attack the basket and to force teams to utilize more than one defender to stop her, to not let guys off the hook, especially when you have a height advantage, which she will quite often in pre-conference, not as often in conference, but she will early. And I'm hoping to be able to establish a sense of confidence in terms of going to the basket and scoring with her here early.
You talk about aggression, but do you also encourage her to spend a lot of time in the weight room? She's only 174, so trying to bulk up perhaps?
You know what? She is not a kid that is ever going to be big and bulky. She's just not. She has tiny shoulders. She has a small frame. She's long and lean, and she can get stronger, though it's not going to necessarily be visible strength to a great degree. She's just a long, skinny kid, and she's not ever going to be real big. That being said, she does work on trying to put on weight, and was very conscientious with her diet over the summer, and she did put on, I think, 11 pounds, which is it helps. But she's not ever going to be one of those where you look out and go, you know, wow, she's strong. She's just too long. Her legs
right.
are all too long.
We are hooping it up with Sherry Cole, the great Sherry Cole, Oklahoma's head women's basketball coach. And I have to say, Sherry, it is hard to believe you're entering into your 16th season. Time certainly flies. And when we dial in and look at this year, the biggest question mark and challenge has really been what the replacement of your standout point guard in Danielle Robinson. Who is filling those shoes?
It's kind of by committee right now, and that is a huge void to fill. And it's because it's in a myriad of ways. First, having somebody that can create separation with the dribble is worth its weight in gold. That's how you run stuff in the half court. That's how you alleviate pressure. And we're still working on that through Morgan Hook, our sophomore, and Deshaun Harden, our freshman. Both of those guys will spend a lot of time playing the point position for us, and they're developing in that regard. But I think the biggest – Morgan had a great stat line, by the way. She passed ahead. She scored in double figures. She had five or six rebounds. She had a really, really nice stat line and did a great job of pushing us in transition, I thought. So our transition looks a little different. Without Danielle, it was primarily off the dribble with Dee, and with Mo, it'll be more of a pass ahead. But it was effective nonetheless. So many of our threes came out of transition because of her push. But where we really, really miss Danielle Robinson is her presence. It's her swagger. It's her voice, her enthusiasm. She was the kid that was always bouncing around the locker room, getting everybody going. Hers was the voice in every free throw huddle. Hers was the encouraging, kicking the behind to a teammate when they needed to get going. She was all those things. She was the consummate leader. And I think a lot of our guys knew that, but they didn't really know that until they got on the floor and didn't have her there. And suddenly last night it was like, okay, this is different. Now we all have to give a little bit more in a little different ways to make up for that void left by Danielle. And that's how you know when you're a great player. When you're not there anymore, there's a huge void left because of the absence of your presence. And that's going to be the toughest thing to replace. We'll get somebody who can score it and can break down defensive pressure and get us in our offense. We'll be able to develop all that. And the tough part is replacing the person, the presence on the floor.
So, Sherry, how do you not overwhelm like a freshman and a sophomore? I look at, you know, you said that Morgan Hook had a great stat line. In fact, she only had one turnover, but there is so much, and you understand this, you're a former point guard, so much to learn and digest from that particular position, you know, controlling tempo, being that floor general, the communicator, you know, getting court balance. How are you taking it, just one thing at a time with these guys?
Yeah, that's a great point, Ian. I have a little list on my desk that I look at every single day of about seven things that I need to make sure and instill in that point guard, and it's all intangible. It's about having a sense of confidence and catching them doing something right and putting them in situations where they can be successful and simplifying the game. I think those are ways that that you minimize the load that is on a point guard, because there is so much to be responsible for. And yet you can't be responsible for any of the action that's going on the floor if you don't have a sense of comfort yourself. And so finding ways to put those young guys in positions where they can be successful is critical. And then rewarding those positive behaviors and talking about the things that they did well before you talk about the things they need to work on, making sure you balance that. But I think one of the key things is not giving them too many decisions to make.
Okay.
Just keeping it real simple on offense. Enter here and run a hard basket cut, and when it comes back to you, let's just play basketball. Two or three entries. We don't have much in terms of offensive sets or structure right now. We're just learning how to play. And trying to take it just bite-sized morsel by bite-sized morsel.
Sherry Cole is along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website, where you can listen to this on our podcast page at eradiosports.com. And, of course, our home base is right here in Fort Worth, Texas, and everybody wants to hear about Whitney Hand. She certainly has had, throughout the years, had to deal with her share of injuries, but I love her versatility. I mean, she's 6'1", and as you said, Sherry, she can shoot, she can score, she's your offensive rebounder, and perhaps your best post feeder. What do you have to say about this young lady?
Well, I just talked about Danielle Robinson's presence, and of all Whitney's gifts, that is her greatest. She makes people around her better. We do point differentials with our kids, and regardless of Whitney's stat line, if you go back and you look at what was the score while Whitney was on the floor, 9 times out of 10, when she's on the floor, good things are happening. Our point total is higher. She just makes people around her better. And that's a disposition thing, that's a confidence thing, and of course it is, to a certain extent, a skill thing as well, because when you know how to move on the floor based on a teammate's penetration, you know how to space off of a feed to a post, you instinctually attack the rim for an offensive rebound, all those things make the people around you relax and feel more comfortable with what they do because you're doing your job. So it's a dual thing with her, but Witt is a leader. She's a leader that's grown tremendously because of the adversity that she's faced throughout her career here. It's not been easy for her at all. As a freshman, we forget she broke her finger and missed 4 or 5 games late in the season, came back and led us to the Final Four through the NCAA tournament, and then, of course, her sophomore year, lost the whole season with the knee injury, and then last year played after 2 consecutive knee surgeries and really was never, I would say, any more than 50% ever last year. So this kid has faced a lot of physical adversity, and I think it's made her a better leader. It's made her a tougher player, and I think it's really developed the depth of her game.
And she always responds in a big way, as you're saying, you know, just such a resilient young woman. And I just think about, you know, throughout your coaching career, you have truly coached some of the best. We think of Stacey Dales, Courtney Paris, you're talking about Danielle Robinson. How much fun is it to coach a Whitney Hand?
Oh, wow. If everybody came to work every day like Whitney Hand, coaches would never retire. They would never stop. I mean, you could do this forever, because every single day you know what you're going to get. You're going to get the very best she has to offer, period. That doesn't mean that she makes every shot or that she always stays in front of the ball or gets every rebound, but it means you get her complete immersion in every possession while she's in the gym. And we could all coach that forever. So I think one of the things I've learned through the years is to appreciate every day. I know in Danielle Robinson's senior year, going into it, I knew exactly what I had, and I knew exactly what I wouldn't have when it was gone. And so every single day I really tried to cherish the way she attacked practice and her disposition and the way she governed the gym. I wanted to make sure I wrung every second of that dry. And I'm doing the same thing with Whitney's career, and now that she's in the gym again and feels good and is healthy and has that smile going and is talking and communicating on the floor is herself. I find myself sometimes just watching her and appreciating the fact that she's back and healthy. And those are those things that you know when you have them, you got something special. I want to make sure that I appreciate it.
Just a few more moments this weekend with Sherry Cole on the Big East Sports Show. And let's look up and down your schedule. I am so jealous. You guys are going to be in Nashville, Tennessee on Thanksgiving at Vanderbilt. That's going to be so much fun.
I think so, too. You know, I'm the country music buff on our team.
All right.
I'm far more excited than many of my players are about it. But, yeah, I've never spent any extended time there. And I think it'll be a neat tournament, some very good competition, and a great time to be there.
Absolutely. And also, we look up and down your schedule. You guys have Connecticut again this season. So it's a good thing that Whitney Hand is 100% and she's feeling great.
We have a crazy schedule. You know, every year we play one of the toughest schedules in the country. It's typically top three, if not top three, top five. But I think this might be the toughest one we've seen in a long time. And it comes at a tough year because we are so young and because we've had a couple of injuries here early. So we're going to have to buck up and get good in a hurry. We've got Ohio State, we have TCU, we have New Mexico, we have Fresno State, all those before we get to conference play, and then we pause in conference play. And when you're playing Baylor and A&M and Iowa State and Texas, you pause and play Connecticut and then go right back to the Big 12 grind. So there is no rest for the weary. Our young guys are going to have to grow up quickly. But I like the fact that our pre-conference schedule is so challenging so that we don't have that shock that you can often have when you roll into conference play.
We do, Sherry, have a lot of Frog fans that listen to our show with us being in Fort Worth. Talk about the addition of TCU. I mean, that's got to be a more competition, a lot of fun.
You know what? It makes sense. It's a piece of conference alignment that makes sense in a world of conference alignment that doesn't seem to sometimes make a lot of sense. They're an easy trip for most of us in this league. They're very competitive across the board in their sports. They're a high-quality academic institution. I think it's a perfect fit for our league and it'll make us better.
Okay, I only got time for about two more quick questions. I have to bring up the fact a great addition to your staff that's going to support you guys, of course, is Pamela DaCosta. Bring her on home. That's got to be a lot of fun to be back with her again.
Yeah, it is. She was with us our first 2 years and helped lay the foundation for this program, and then went away for several head coaching stints and is back with us now. And it's really nice, E, to have an assistant coach who's had head coach experience.
Sure.
They understand a lot about the pauses between the notes, if you will, of what it means to be a head coach. They know when to approach and how to approach and know what you need before you even ask for it. And that's been nice. Also, just she just has a hunting dog mentality when it comes to recruiting. She is just a relentless recruiter. She's good at it. I think she's a great teacher on the floor and a very good motivator, but I think recruiting is her gift. She's great with people and is really, really working hard on the recruiting trail and has already made a significant difference in our recruiting.
Certainly a wonderful addition. And my final question for you as we get ready to close out our radio interview is just share a comment on someone that has meant so much to the great state of Oklahoma, losing the legendary Bob Berry Sr. with his unexpected passing. I certainly miss him dearly. Of course, I did my television internship with him, but just our thoughts and prayers are with the Berry family. But he was such a special man.
Absolutely. Bob, the first word that comes to mind when I think of him is jovial. I don't think I ever walked up to him when he didn't have a smile.
Yeah.
I can't recall ever having an interaction with him in which he did not laugh. And that may seem like a little thing, but I'll tell you what, he made your day better.
Yes.
When you had a conversation with him because of his approach, because of his outlook. And I think about the people of Oklahoma and how lucky we have all been to share that through the years, not only through his broadcasting of sporting events, but through the nightly news and the sports at Channel 4. Just he came into everybody's home and made everything a little bit better.
The legend sincerely will be missed. Jerry, thank you so much. Good luck with all the season. We hope to catch up again real soon.
Thank you, Eve.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment with Jason Peter.